We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The hosts at WEEI rarely want them to speak.
You are a bunch of dumb MFers.
Nope. Shut up!
They put up with absurd requests for the past week.
Go to the Crack Shack, tell a mutt sent you.
And now they've left the control room to get behind the mic.
Your marketing abrasiveness, and it's changing talk radio.
This is the WEEI Producer Show.
It is what it is.
With Tyler Devitt.
Mitch Chilling. Trubisky, a 2018 Pro Bowler. Made I'm making your point, Christian.
Thank you, Tyler, friend of mine. He's here. So, but the ceiling, I do Kiss think is
John Anderson.
And I am dead. I am hanging on by a thread, my friend.
John's, you got something as I made love over the weekend.
Last night, I made love to the porcelain telephone.
And Ryan Garvin.
Subterfuge.
Subterfuge.
Thank God I'm not going to be here on Friday. Thank you, Ryan.
On WEEI.
I can't hear myself in here. You good?
Hey, those microphones
three,
on there,
two, one. Hey, welcome into the WEI Producer Show. Ryan Garvin, John Anderson, Tyler Devitt.
Should we shout over each other like those IDs that fired like 5 minutes
that
ago?
That was a cluster.
Awesome. That was so cool. Can we do that again?
So a little behind the scenes radio here. Have you heard that? I'm assuming what happened was we were running what, CBS Sports Radio or
yeah,
Westwood One?
They fired IDs. We fired IDs. Someone else fired IDs. Like guy upstairs fired IDs. And there were like nine IDs going up the same time. It was incredible.
This is WEI and Odyssey Station, by the way. This is the producer show, which none of us were here last week, and not even John, who was kind of like just here in spirit, but not actually here.
I was physically here, but not mentally here,
I
think is the way it went.
I heard there was some concern about your well-being when you got here last week.
There definitely was, and I'll have to say, last night, I went and saw House of Gucci at 6, went home, went to bed.
Now, so, is that a punk band? Is that a movie? What is House of Gucci?
I don't even know.
I went to the House of Pain 25th anniversary tour last night at the Paradise Rock Club.
Featuring Gucci.
I jumped around and made sure I was home in bed by 8:30 with a nice glass of milk.
And so last week, you just heard it in the open, you were hugging the porcelain telephone. I've never heard that phrase before.
What, like shouting down the porcelain telephone to God? I've never heard that.
Telephone.
The porcelain, isn't it the porcelain throne?
Yes.
Well, the porcelain throne's when you're sitting on it, I think, right?
No, or you can hug it too, depending on what position you're in.
Yeah. I was shouting down the porcelain telephone.
It goes from a throne to a telephone when you're puking.
Yes, if the mouth is to the orifice, then yes. If the any other appendage is to the
transformable
orifice,
item,
then, yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I get it now.
Can take on it, wears many hats. It's like the
802. Your puke talk is
now concluded. Well, I wasn't really paying attention.
Last night, I made love to the porcelain telephone.
Oh my God, John,
the porcelain telephone.
Well, I was now. Well, wait.
The porcelain
Good morning,
telephone.
Everybody across. What does Crush say all across our networks? That was beautiful.
Key New Hampshire, the islands, the cave, whatever he says.
You know what? You've already put in a good show today, John. Good morning, Tyler.
8:03.
Good morning, guys.
Oh, my God.
A big question for you. Are you a little bit concerned about what's going into Monday night? We got some bad weather, lake effect snow coming to the Buffalo area. Mac Jones has never played an environment
this is why
like
I miss
Buffalo,
Glenn
guys.
Because you know he would have known everything about lake
so
effect snow.
So much weather talk.
Yeah, we could call Glenn. I'm sure he's up to date with the Buffalo weather. He
has Glenn on as a lake effect weather expert.
We got bad weather here today, by the way. Bears got the right idea. That hibernation thing. That seems awesome. I want to hibernate. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So about this game, everyone's
extremely
talking about
cold, wind chill below zero. I'm still thinking about the porcelain.
Glenn will break down the weather all night Monday from the West Coast. He will tell you everything about the Buffalo experience because he'll call Fred. He'll call people.
Fred
that
played in Buffalo.
He'll call
Smirlis.
He'll call the people who actually played there, and he'll get his sources on it. Question for you. Are you buying any of this weather stuff at all? Because I think it's such malarkey. It's a almost a tired narrative that Mac Jones never played an environment like the Buffalo Bills, and they're going to throw dildos on the field, and it's going to be lake effect snow, and God's going to rain down on Mac Jones, and he's going to be able to take away his arm. This is ridiculous. Like, are you buying this weather narrative that he can't play through bad weather, but Josh Allen can?
I mean, if the thing is, so we had Eric Wood on, and he's a former Bills center. He is their color analyst at our sister station out in Buffalo, WGR. And he basically told us, like, sometimes when this weather gets too extreme, it takes away the deep passing game, not for Mac Jones, but for the Bills, and possibly for both teams.
Huh?
And I think that sort of happened, because the winds just get too gusty for you to throw the ball that deep.
Sure. Yes. Okay. I can buy that.
I think something similar happened when the Bills played the Colts last year in the playoffs, and the Bills ended up winning. They didn't cover the spread, I know. I think they won by, like, 4. I want to say it was 24 to 20 or 21, something like that.
Oh, so we're in for a really fun
Monday.
Yeah,
but they could not throw the deep ball in that game. So, that's just a microcosm. That's one game. There are many other games where that has happened, and that has been the case. So, I don't think it's necessarily, like, as much of a concern just for Mac Jones, but, like, cold weather, he's already played in cold weather. He's played in cold weather here this season. Like, I'm not worried about that at all. The weather you worry about is, like, insane gusting winds and like a crap load of snow, like that game that LeSean McCoy had to gallop through 2 feet of snow up there in Buffalo a few years ago. Yeah, like that. Those are the games when you're concerned about weather. Maybe like insane monsoon rain, like when the Patriots played the Cowboys at Gillette in 2019, and Dak couldn't do anything. Like, that's when you're concerned about weather. I'm not concerned about the lake effect snow that is literally always there in the region against a team coming in that got to practice in the cold for the last 3 weeks and they've already had cold games. No, I'm not concerned.
I think it's funny all I've heard about this Buffalo team when the weather does come up is that, well, their offense isn't built for it, which seems like a really kind of odd strategy to have if you're a football team somewhere. Listen, we know we get this crazy weather sometimes where it just, you know, sits right off the lakes there and it strengthens and it gets tougher and it's a mess to play in. Let's not build our team to thrive in an environment like that. Let's actually have a team that needs perfect conditions in order to go. I don't understand that. I'm with you guys. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Every time these things come up, and I think the last one I can remember with the Patriots was, I want to say it was the last time they played the Cowboys, and oh boy, all we heard it was going to be grueling, swirling winds and typhoon-like forces and monsoon-like winds, and it was like a drizzle. It was a little windy.
What, the 2019 game? The one I mentioned like 3 minutes ago?
Was that what it was? I was looking trying to find the
game,
weather.
That game was Cowboys could not do anything in that
Colts,
game.
Not Colts.
No, I'm talking Buffalo. Cowboys, Patriots, 2019 at Gillette.
That's the last weather game I can remember.
Yeah, weather. Well, here in Boston, sunny but cold, temperatures peaking in the 90s.
I think that was two weeks off the bye, because that was when they started 8-0, the Fool's Gold Boogeyman defense. They got blown out by Lamar.
Yep.
I think they beat Cleveland, then Philly, and then Dallas. And Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott were hopeless in that game. Like, it was 100%. It was a normal Patriots game from their side as far as that season went. But the Cowboys offense could not do anything in that game. That's what I was saying. Like, that is a game where I say, like, okay, weather could have an impact on this. You have a dome team coming and playing in conditions like this. That is not what Mac Jones is going to walk into on Sunday.
It's always overblown. Like, oh boy, we love to spend a week talking about how terrible the weather is going to be. I mean, the AFC Championship in Kansas City, you thought the world was going to end that Saturday or that Sunday or whatever they played. No, I don't think it's a big deal, Tyler. I can't imagine a lot of people do. And honestly, the only people that have to worry about it are the people playing in the game and the people psychotic enough to go and sit in freezing cold weather and watch men run into each other at full speed.
Question, Tyler. So when you say that the Bills are not built to play in those conditions, are we referring to all of these bogus stats floating out there about their running game?
The Bills can't run the ball. They can't run the ball. It's like, no, they choose not to run the ball because they trust Josh Allen, who they're paying $258 million
But then there's the rebuttal, and I heard Andy Hart do this on MF on Thursday, is that they're like top 10 in all of these rushing stats as well. You know why they're top 10 in all the rushing? Why they have, like, top 5 most rushing attempts in the league right now, despite not running the ball?
It's because of the quarterback.
35 to nothing, 43 to 21, 40 to 0, 38 to 20, 26 to 11, 45 to 17, 31 to 6. All of their wins are blowout wins when the game is over at halftime. Of course, they're running the ball more.
No kidding. And you see the correlation there is when they can't run the ball effectively.
They lose.
Right. Not only do they lose badly. Yeah. I mean, the one thing I saw, and I don't know, John, I'm sure you've done a much deeper dive on this than I will, but Jacksonville, I know nothing of Jacksonville other than that they're not very good. I know that they held this Buffalo Bills team, your Patriots are going to play, to 6 points in 75 rushing yards. And I really feel like if Jacksonville can do that, the Patriots should be able to replicate something similar.
And the thing about that game was Josh Allen was their leading rusher, and their backs only had 9 carries to Josh Allen's 47 throwing attempts.
God.
It was a despicable disparity for a Jacksonville team who can't really stop the run, but apparently their offensive line like came out of nowhere, or their defensive line came out of nowhere and just stopped them from doing whatever they wanted to do through the air.
Buffalo had a lot of, especially the last 2 months, they had a lot of offensive line injuries. And all of those guys, I believe Spencer Brown, their second round pick, is one of them. And then John Feliciano, former Jet, I think he's there. He's either their center or their, one of their guards. They're all healthy now, and they're all going to play against the Patriots. Like, they should be able to do a bit more running the ball than they have in recent weeks. But are you guys familiar with Football Outsiders website?
Yes.
Analytics website.
The website that Christian Fourier hates.
Yeah. Wow, I'm shocked. Imagine this. You have these people that put in years of work to create this database that literally takes into account every single play in the history of the National Football League.
Well, these computers are deciding to go on fourth down? What are they doing, John?
And it takes into account every variable on every single one of those plays in the history of the National Football League, and you have former tight ends going on the radio saying, oh, those are just nerds.
Baseball's taking over football again.
Like, all right, so there are two sides to this. So given how I just told you guys this Football Outsiders is their stat is DVOA. If you've heard that is them. It's a guy named Aaron Schatz. He's the one who did all this work going through the history of the National Football League.
Sure.
Probably like a solid 10 years of work to do this.
Yeah.
So you know how that comes from. Would you rather believe that or stat those are stat nerds? Don't believe
we
that.
Don't like nerds.
Right.
There's a happy medium here. You shouldn't use
prove
just you shouldn't
me
use
wrong, nerd.
You shouldn't use just one of these. You should couple them together, form a narrative based off of them. And that narrative on the Buffalo Bills this season, by the way, is that by DVOA, they are the most volatile team since they have been tracking this stat, which is 20 years. And I mean, like I just read the blowout wins they have, and then Ryan, you mentioned the losses and how much their run defense specifically got blown out in those losses, how Josh Allen couldn't do anything. They had their losses this season are the worst losses in the National Football League, and their wins are the best wins in the National Football League. It's completely insane. You just don't know. You do not know which Bills team you're going to get. More often than not, you've obviously gotten, like, they are 7-4. Like, you have gotten the better version of the Bills more often than not, but especially Patriots with Bucks coming up, Patriots again in a couple of weeks, like, you could easily get the crappy version of the Buffalo Bills here.
But haven't the Patriots also had some pretty low lows? They lost to the Dolphins, who were a dumpster fire in week 1.
Yeah, they have. I'm more so.
Yeah, what's your DVOA say about that Patriots Miami game?
Well, it's
by the way, I am probably more inclined to side with the guy I am the producer for than whatever you just said about football stats.
I'm shocked.
I feel like Charlie Kelly. Like, wait, I'm sorry. I don't understand. Was that a question?
So
yeah, I'm going to go with Christian.
By volatile, you mean like they have really high highs and really
high
low
highs,
lows.
Low lows.
Large margin of
very
their play.
Like, literally the biggest possible swing you can have is being the best team to the worst team. And they literally have had that. Like, especially week 6, skip their bye through 12. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. And it was blowouts going either way. So You don't know what team you're going to get. And like I mentioned with the offensive line getting healthy, but then you lose Tre'Davious White. Whenever all those games where they've let up all those rushing yards, Starlo Tulele, defensive tackle, and Tremaine Edmonds were not playing in those games. And they're both supposed to play. Tremaine Edmonds has played for a few weeks in a row, but like he didn't play against the Colts, for example. And, you know, it's like, okay, your rush defense was bad against literally the best rushing offense in the league. The Jets, say what you want about the Jets, have a decent run defense, and they also got bullied around by that offensive line, Jonathan Taylor. So, like, that's going to happen when you're playing against literally the best running back right now with the best offensive line.
So, if I can sum all that up that I just heard. So there,
I'm been, not scared.
There have been times where, well, it's almost like you don't know if you should be or not, but there has been at least two different points in this season where the Buffalo Bills have been the best team in football and the worst team in football based on the win and the loss that they had. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So you mentioned...
See, I get this stuff.
He mentions the Bills, like, high variance, but, like, look at the common opponents. Let's take this very simple. Let's not talk about DVOA or win rate efficiency.
It's all the same
rate.
Opponents as the Patriots.
Hold on.
The common opponents here of the Bills and the Patriots, they have five. The Dolphins, they played them. Buffalo destroyed Miami twice. The Patriots lost.
Yes.
The Texans. The Bills murdered Houston 40-0. They didn't allow them to score a damn point. It was the worst game of the season for the Texans. Best game for the Bills. The Pats needed a game-winning drive to come back to beat Davis Mills on the road. Not a great show in there.
Yeah.
They got the win.
I mean, but those two games, you can easily, like what Ryan's going to side with Fourier, whatever Fourier says. What did Fourier say about the Houston game? That's an emotional game stacked right after Tampa and before the big matchup with the Cowboys.
Oh, that's a lazy narrative. I can't take that one.
Oh, so you guys don't agree with that one that Fourier said. So
no,
you don't like that one.
It's an invalid point.
Let's go to Miami, though. First month of the season with the Patriots, you can always throw it out.
It's also a tired narrative.
No, why? Why?
Because every game matters. When you don't have
every game matters.
When you don't have an elite quarterback, you cannot throw away games in terms of trying to go in the playoffs.
No, so I agree with you on that. We're talking about two different things. Every game matters. Like, yeah, the loss against Miami could come back to bite them. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, it suddenly is not in their record anymore. Like, that's not what I mean. What I mean is that the team that went out on the field against the Miami Dolphins in week one is not the team the Patriots are putting on the field this Monday. And there's not a lot you can take from that game to make an educated guess or to project out into this game or the rest of the season. Because the Patriots are like, they are not that team anymore. The defense was not very good the first month of the season. The offensive line was not good. Mac was the best thing about the team, believe it or not. And, you know, he came down a bit after that. But then as Mac came down, the running game and the offensive line and the defense came up. And now Mac has come back up. And now they're more in unison.
Well, I think I would agree with that. I mean, both those teams. Because I can remember vividly sitting here after that game, that following Saturday, going, watch out for the Dolphins. This feels like this is the year where they figure things out. Boy, was I wrong about that.
But look at them now.
And look at Buffalo. Buffalo lost their their opener to Pittsburgh, and everyone went, oh, yeah, here comes Pittsburgh. That AFC North is going to be tough, boy. Just watch out. And the Steelers are trash, and Buffalo rattled off 4-5 wins from there. I understand that aspect of it where you really can't look at what the team was in the first week of September compared to what they have morphed into, which is this team that is going to be could potentially be the thing of nightmares for everybody across the league. It's been really fun kind of enjoying this, like, you know, watching people that did not like the Patriots, like rooting for the Patriots now, like nationally. Oh, they're really coming around, and they're doing it different. And Bill Belichick is having his best coaching year. And what could happen is if they go and they blow out the Bills, all of a sudden, it's going to sink in with the rest of America. The Patriots are back. We talked about this yesterday, Lou and Fitzy. Where you look, and this is something I enjoy when NFL Sunday does it, where they're playing the Bills, or they're playing the Dolphins, or playing their Jets, and Keith goes to Football Reference and starts rattling off all the quarterbacks that the Buffalo Bills have had and all the coaches they've had in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era. The Patriots had 1 year off. And now it seems like they have their guy going forward. And it just must make people sick to their stomachs. And I'm telling you, if it doesn't yet, it will. Mm-hmm. It absolutely will. And you just haven't realized it yet.
And I think that kind of hype ends this week because I think they lose. I think they lose Monday night. I honestly believe that because to continue going through the common opponents, the Bills have been better than the Patriots against the Dolphins, the Texans. They both kill the Jets. That doesn't count. The Jets stink. One of the worst losses of Mac Jones' career was against the Saints. He was not good in that game.
No, he was not.
Jameis Winston wasn't great either, but he was the better quarterback that day. The Patriots lost by 15. The Bills beat them 31-6.
Mm-hmm.
And the last common opponent of the five was the Titans, which are two completely different teams. Derrick Henry was there, and they beat the Titans beat the Bills 34-31. The Pats won by 23 in game 2 weeks ago. But it doesn't matter because it's two completely different teams. I just think the common opponents tell you, if you just look at that, the Bills are the better team. They have beaten better teams, the same teams you've played, in a more impressive fashion than the Patriots have. I just don't understand why no one's, like, everyone's ignoring that. And guys like John are like, DVOA, and, you know, their lows are really low. Look at who they've played. They've played the same common opponents, and the Patriots have not been as good as Buffalo has been.
And frankly, none of these teams that both the Patriots and the Bills have played are really that good in the first place. I mean, look, there's a very real possibility that the Patriots lose to Davis Mills and David Culley and the Texans. If David Culley doesn't lose his mind and go for it on fourth down in every opportunity where he doesn't need to do it. I just think, and this is something just to sidebar a little bit, the thing that I have been hearing about this game all week, and I don't understand it, is it's not that important. It's not that important. The next one's important. I don't understand that. I feel like this should be
the Bills away with this game because they're not beating Tampa.
Or the illusion of what the Patriots are doing and the direction that they're going, and they're built for December, and they don't lose in November. When they don't lose in November, they go to the Super Bowl. That beautiful painting the Patriots fans have been sitting and admiring for the last 6 weeks could get torched in an instant. Obviously, we'll, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, we'll be looking win, loss. How that happens, though, I think is very, very important for this Patriots team going forward, because if they go out on Monday.
If
they go out on Monday at 8 o'clock and they get absolutely smoked by a team that is having been said that they can't even play in their own environment, that is going to be a sobering wake-up call for this Patriots team. And I asked the question, and I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't know if this is a good problem to have. John, maybe you can help me out with this too. Tyler, I brought this up yesterday. Is there one guy, skill position player on the Patriots, if they lose, that this whole perfectly tuned machine just stops working? Like a Rob Gronkowski, a Wes Welker, a Julian Edelman.
I mean, you could argue that the position that they really don't have a replacement at right now is tight end, because Jonnu Smith has not been anywhere near good in the passing game, and Hunter Henry's been a red zone target on a team that has stunk in the red zone this year. So you could argue, and Hunter Henry, a guy with injury history as well, you could argue that you lose him, you don't have a replacement on the roster.
Fair. I don't know. And it's not like, oh, I don't know.
Maybe
love your
wheels
answer.
Don't come off, like you're saying. I mean, Mac would be the answer but to that.
I'm trying to figure out, is that a good problem to have for a football team, or is that a bad problem to have? Is that something that is sustainable in the month of December, where you have all these guys, you have a bunch of like number threes and number fours, and Bill Belichick has somehow made this entire thing work, and I don't understand how it is working.
I mean,
I'm
I'm all for spreading the love, though, and not having one guy where it's like, oh, the defense knows they're drawing up 15 plays a game that are just going to this guy. I'm more for that in as far as roster building philosophy goes. I don't know about you, Tyler.
Is that guy not Trent Brown? Because since he's been back for three weeks. They've won every game by 25 or more.
Well, I think Trent Brown is fair.
20 plus or more,
and,
I should say.
And that's Ted Karras and Trent Brown were the answers that Lou and Fitzy gave me yesterday when I asked this question. And I still don't think that that's like a great answer for what I'm talking about.
I think Mike Onwenu could come in and fill either of those spots if they got hurt. Like he's just the odd man out right now, and he's an awesome offensive lineman who would easily be a starter on literally any other team.
But I feel like if you lose one of those guys, it changes your how you go. It changes the ability you have to do certain things, not how you would go about them. I'm saying, a Nelson Agholor, Ramondre Stevenson, Kendrick Bourne might be that guy based on what he's been doing the last couple weeks. But my overall point, and I still really am not quite sure on this, is this something that is sustainable? Like, are we going to see them play Buffalo on Monday and they might do something that the Patriots do, which is, okay, you take away Stephon Diggs, we're going to have one guy, the Tre'Davious White fill-in, cover Kendrick Bourne the whole game. He's going to chase Jacoby Myers around the whole game. If they lose one of these guys, is this something that they're able to do and have Mac Jones run this offense at a high level like he has been?
You can answer that question at 617-779-7937. Are you worried about the Bills game? Because I certainly am. I think the common opponents tell you Buffalo has been better against those five than New England has been. Good morning, Jay on line one. How are you? And what do you want to say about this Josh Allen versus Mac Jones matchup?
Well, I had one question. Which one has more potential? I think Josh Allen has reached the end of his potential, but I don't think Mac Jones has. I think Mac Jones is unlimited. That's it.
Oh, Sean would love this topic, I think.
Oh, well, it's easily Mac Jones, because they're going to have the money to surround him for four more years, whereas starting in next season or the year after, the Bills are not going to have as much money to surround Josh Allen, and they're just going to have to be nails in the draft, like hitting on fifth rounders that can fill in when they can't pay their guard and stuff like that.
Mr. Whereas unlimited,
the Patriots are going to have money, so that's why it's going to look like Mac for probably the next few years, like Mac is doing more with less sort of thing. But it's always at least until you see Mac on that second contract and there's even ground between the two. As far as that debate goes, in the short term, Mac.
You know what? I might actually say Josh Allen, just because I think Josh Allen is a more naturally gifted athlete than Mac Jones. The difference is
he's a stallion.
Boy, can he run. Oh, isn't he handsome?
Rein him in.
But the thing with Mac Jones is he hasn't had that moment from Josh Allen where you're screaming at your television, what the F are you doing? Josh, I have seen Josh Allen in big moments absolutely lose his flipping mind.
Yeah.
I think it was his first playoff appearance. I want to say it was against Pittsburgh. And all he was running. He needed to secure a first down.
Oh, it was the Texans.
Was it
Texans? Yeah, it was the Texans. At one point, he was running
nobody.
Backwards. He ran backwards and then lateral to nobody.
Lateral to nobody. And it's one of those things where you are going, oh, my God. Once again, Buffalo is going to be looking for a quarterback in a year or so. And now I don't think that's the case. I think you can fix that. I think Brian Dabo Sweeney has done
his baldness.
Has
Brian Dabo Sweeney
a hell
inside
of a job?
Joke from Erlonian,
yes,
for you.
Breaking this quarterback down and kind of rebuilding him and reshaping him into, you know, somebody that's not so skittish.
But Josh Allen, they're never out of a game or in a tough situation because of them. Now he can put them in some tough situations too.
Oh,
both can be true. Great point there by Chris Sims.
Anyway.
That's kind of like he's the greatest, but he's not the best.
Anyway, I thought I was awake. No, apparently I'm not. I can't believe what I did.
Good morning. 8:25.
No, I think that Josh Allen, if he continues on the path that he is on, considering he's a runner-up MVP last year, he can kind of learn these things and make these reads, which is also a testament to how impressive Mac Jones has been in his rookie year, that Mac seems to already have a grasp on these concepts of not absolutely pooping yourself when you see something scary and trying to, you know, YOLO your way into a win. Josh Allen's, I don't know if he's quite there yet, but as far as the natural ability combined with, you know, making better choices as a quarterback, yeah, I think Josh Allen should have more upside than Mac Jones.
That is Ryan Garvin alongside John Anderson. I'm Tyler Devitt, and that was the Bills versus Patriots preview, Mac Jones versus Josh Allen. I want to get to another 1v1 matchup. This is Cindy DeBrusque versus Joe Haggerty. I want to get to that coming up next. I'm fascinated by this storyline. We didn't talk about it on Maloney and Fourier, but this is the place to do it right here next on the WEI Producer Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to the WEEI Producer Show.
Jake DeBrusque getting booed at TD Garden. Jake DeBrusque hearing boo birds at home.
I'm exhausted, barely breathing.
Back here on the WEI Producer Show, Ryan Garvin, John Anderson, I'm Tyler Devitt. We're here until 9, then the Ken and Curtis Show follows us. I believe they're live from the Greg Hill Foundation's Jingle All the Way 5K.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know if any of them actually ran it. Maybe a memorial walk by all
shows. I believe Greg allegedly is running it.
He's running it?
I believe so.
I think he started last night on that one. Let's go to Maria. We'll go to Maria in Watertown here in a little bit, because I know she has a take on this Cindy DeBrusque versus Joe Haggerty stuff. But to go back on it, if you don't know the story, Joe Haggerty tweeted out, request officially made this morning for Jake DeBrusque to speak with the Bruins media about his trade requests, etc. DeBrusk has declined to speak with reporters and is leaving the responsibility to others to talk about his situation. Let's talk about that. Do you believe that Jake DeBrusk is like in the wrong for declining to speak about this and forcing his teammates to speak for him?
Well, so I first off disagree that he's forcing his teammates to speak about it, because they have known that he's wanted out for months now. And it was when his agent finally put this out there to try to sort of force the Bruins' hand to like finally make something happen that all of this came out. And we talked to Razor on Thursday, and he said, like, guys, every single locker room has like three guys that want out in it, and every player knows they want out. But as long as those players are showing up and still like contributing to the team and not just like doing the James Harden showing up with in a fat suit and not trying at practice, then like they don't care. Like as long like that part of it's fine. And those people, they're going to get asked about it whether Jake DeBrusk addresses it or not.
Yeah.
I agree that Jake DeBrusk should address it, because it would probably be easier, because then you won't have this situation happening. Not that it's necessarily DeBrusk's fault that like certain people have certain opinions on it. He'd be better off addressing it, but I don't think he's forcing his teammates to do anything, because they would have to do it anyway.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think Jake DeBrusk would probably do himself as well as everybody else a lot of favors just by, you know, coming out, talking about it. You know, the athletes speak your way through a bunch of answers that, you know, are really non-committal or really not going anywhere. And then that's it. It's done. It's out there. We are, because of the situation that the Bruins are in, between, you know, Brad Marchand getting suspended, Anton Bleed is still dealing with what I'm assuming is a concussion, and then not having the ability to call up anybody from the AHL, it's forced this strange situation where Jake DeBrusk not only has to play, but scored the other night.
Yeah. The AHL situation is putting a real monkey wrench in this whole thing, too, because, like, Chris Wagner would be up by now if they didn't have the COVID outbreak.
You plenty of options. Get Oscar Steen. Come on down. You know, we're going to buy you dinner. And you know, you made that comment with what Andrew Raycroft was saying, and I believe that. And when we spoke to Jack Edwards on Bruins Thursday, the way we do on every Bruins Thursday, the point he was making that I completely agree with is that it's his agent that is screwing this entire thing up. Because if it had just come out that Jake DeBrusk has been traded for blank, would you expect that to be something good? Because I wouldn't. Now combine that with the fact that his agent is publicizing that he wants out, and which takes a ton of leverage away from the Bruins from getting anything decent from him in the first place.
You need to hope that there's a Jake DeBrusk on another team is the situation. Like, there was a Danton Heinen on another team when they traded him for, I think, Nick Ritchie from the Ducks.
Right.
Neither one worked out, but that's what you're looking for. Like, in this case, the name you hear is Mason Appleton, who's on the Seattle Kraken. He scored like 25 for the Jets last year, and then they took him the expansion draft. He's having a down year, similar contract. Like, that's a guy, like, hey, maybe one for one, if one contract is a bit more than the other, throw in a sixth or a seventh or something. Like, that's what you're hoping for, but it is unfortunately moving at the speed of molasses.
Well, and it's also, you know, the last thing I'll say on it, but it's a symptom of a much bigger issue. Like, you know, Applebottom, whoever, you know, they could get for Jake DeBrusk. In theory, you should be getting a much higher quality player for a guy that was taken in the first round 6 years ago, who was a top 15 pick.
He was in the string of three picks that they picked directly ahead of Matt Barzal
and Sebastian Aho and Thomas Chabot. But we can't keep crying about that.
I digress.
Forever. The point is, if he was half the player that he was believed to be, and half the player that the Bruins thought he could be after they gave him that big bump, you might actually get something really tangible and really good for a guy like Jake DeBrusk. But instead, if you get a late draft pick, if you get, you know, you're looking for a guy to match that. So are we talking like third line, fourth line? Which Jake DeBrusk are we talking about here? Because I've seen a whole different mess of them. Do we want a guy that can we trade Jake DeBrusk and get a guy that's just going to skate into a drive-by on the net one time per game? That's the equivalent of what you have for Jake DeBrusk.
Do we get David Krejci with him, though?
It's a total disaster, and it is. It's a much bigger symptom of how this team is drafted, what they've had to do in the offseason, much like the Patriots, to get back to zero, because you've drafted guys for the last 7 years, and not a lot of them have really panned out.
So Haggerty's blaming Jake DeBrus for having the responsibility go to his teammates. He got a response and said, why would he want to speak when he's going to get flamed either way? Haggerty immediately responded and said, because it's a bad look to force your teammates to answer those questions for you instead. I don't know if he's forcing his teammates to say it.
That's like what I'm saying. He's not forcing. They're going to be asked about it whether he addresses it or not.
And doesn't it depend on how you're asking the questions also? Like, if it's just as simple as, you know, what's going on with the Jake DeBrus thing, any guy would say, listen, I'm not going to speak for another grown adult.
A major player in the Bruins has asked for a trade. Do you think that if Jake DeBrus is addressing that, we're not asking Patrice Bergeron, David Pastrnak, all these guys about one of their teammates asking for a trade? Hell yeah, we are.
I believe you should still ask the question, but Hags, what was your big strategy? Were you just going to sit there and bombard?
Well, he's mad he's not getting the
David, it was weird, though, because Hags noted, like, somebody was like, what are you doing, whatever, and he noted, like, hey, I know Jake DeBrus, mom. Like, he's probably spoken to her for stories
or something.
Hold on,
let's actually say what Cindy DeBrus said. She goes, he is not forcing anything. You guys keep asking. You ask the other players. They are not sent out there to explain for Jake. Cindy says, come on, please stop the badgering. Focus on the other guys. Jake has always been upfront and honest. It's such a shame to say these things.
That's not true at all, Jake DeBrus' mom, because if he was upfront and honest about this, none of this would be happening. Because
it was just not in public. And then his agent did this.
Okay, well,
which I don't know if his agent is doing it because he told him to or whatever.
Agent, but again, you're not being upfront and honest if you're denying the media. And it wasn't just Joe Haggerty that was asking. There were several members of the Bruins that wanted to ask him about this.
Let's be clear, though. No, but there's a difference, though,
Ryan. If you don't go out there, then how can you say, oh, you're being upfront and honest? So you're hiding from the biggest story. Sorry that your agent put you in a bad position, but now you got to answer for it because that's one of your people, Jake DeBrus. Now you got to go answer for your agent, the stupid thing that he chose to do.
But to be clear, there's a difference between Haggerty and the rest of the beat, because everyone is in agreement that he should come out and address it. So, for example, Hags tries to drag Steve Conroy into this by saying, oh, Conroy also requested it yesterday.
Right.
Conroy comes out and says, to be clear, I and several colleagues requested to speak with Jake DeBrus on Tuesday, and he declined through the team. That's his right, though I think he'd be better off addressing it. But we shouldn't be disingenuous. Whether he spoke or not, we would have asked his teammates about it, too.
No, I'm not.
So,
I'm
like,
not
there's the Hags
that.
Camp, and then there's the rest of it. They are not all one is the point here. I want to hear what Maria has to say.
Let's go to Maria in Watertown.
I feel like
good morning, Maria.
Mom mode's about to kick in.
Yes, Maria, are you
you'll be surprised.
Good morning,
mom
Maria.
Mode is not going to kick. Good morning. Mom mode is not going to kick in, because here's my assessment of this thing. It's never ever a good idea for parents, family members, friends to get involved in these business situations with social media trolls. It's even a worse look when a member of the so-called media claps back at said family member or parent. This is a situation that was caused, I believe, as you guys pointed out, by Jake DeBrus' agent. Now, and I have to wonder how many other teams...
On behalf of Jake, correct?
Correct, on behalf of Jake. But here's, and you guys, you know, can comment on this. When an agent and or a player conduct themselves in this type of manner, don't you think that gives other teams pause for concern to take a step back and say, okay, do I really want to take this on? We got the agent leaking stuff out, making waves. We got the mom making waves with the media. Then we got the knucklehead who's clapping back. And what are we doing here? Don't you think that devalues Jake DeBrus as an asset to some degree? That's my concern.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my concern. And you know what, Joe Haggerty, you used to be better. You need to be better. Don't clap back at someone's mom or anybody else. The Boston Bruins don't need you defending them. Just write your articles and stick to writing about hockey.
Thank you, Maria.
Shut up and write.
Can I read the response from Joe? Because I actually don't have a problem with what he said in response to Cindy DeBrus. Because Cindy, I 100% respect you as a mom coming to your boy's defense. I would do the exact same thing. But when your trade request goes public, you need to address it. That's the professional thing to do. Otherwise, you are absolutely forcing your teammates and coaches to speak for you. Where did Joe Haggerty go wrong?
I agree with the first half, and I
DeBrus.
Disagree with the second half of what he's saying in that specific thing. But also, like Maria has a really good point, because Joe Haggerty's first clapback in this thread came to a Twitter egg whose name is first name bunch of numbers, first name last initial bunch of numbers with eight followers, with the same photo that all the MLB players are using right now with the lockout, and then his next one comes to Jake to the players' mom.
Does it matter?
Does it did either of those responses warrant you responding?
No, of course not. Look, I think it's I think it's great that Joe.
You don't need to put everything on Twitter.
The reason he responded to Twitter
with his fans, you know, maybe he's not as busy with Boston Hockey Now as he was with NBC Sports Boston. I'm sure all the content that they pump out of Boston Hockey Now is really, really good. But I completely agree with you, John. The fact that you're going to sit there and explain yourself to some knob on Twitter that has 9 digits in their name is just silly. Like, come on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
And I hate to keep defending Joe Haggerty, but the reason he did clap back to Matt 3754274 is because that was the most liked response. So it was the top one that everyone was liking, siding with that person.
Were there like, what, 4 likes? Where's my keyboard?
This one screenshot I have is like half the amount of likes of the original two. But anyways, this hour of the WEI Producer Show is sponsored by our friends at Feldman Geospatial. They get it right from the ground up at FeldmanGeo.com. We'll come back with our final segment, a quick Tuukka Rask segment. I believe John's got some thoughts he wants to share. That is next on the WEI Producer Show. Back here on the WEI Producer Show, John Anderson, Ryan Garvin, Tyler Devitt, the Producer Show.
Benjamin.
Produced as great band, by the way.
Yeah.
Love to see them live.
It's like I'm back in middle school.
Producer Show produced, as always, by Nickel Pan. A couple texts here on the text line, 37937. Let's go. I agree about week one. We're talking about the Patriots and how they lost the Dolphins that week. I agree about week one. Both the Pats and Bills lost to non-playoff teams. You were concerned about that. You were talking about the lows of the Bills, but not the Patriots. That's the sticking point.
Would you like me to repeat it?
No!
He's only telling one side of the story. The Patriots have lows, very low lows. They lost to the Saints, lost to the Dolphins, and...
Yeah, they lost to the Saints and the Dolphins in the first 3 weeks of the season.
And the Bills did not.
So?
It doesn't matter when the time happened.
But not every team,
the Bills didn't.
Not every team has the same transformation throughout the season that the Patriots have. I think the Bills are also one of those teams, and I think the same thing probably applies to both of them. But the Bills have had more bad losses recently, and the Patriots haven't.
A couple more texts here. Weeks ago when they had a slow start, you guys poo-pooed my text when most of the losses were against NFC teams.
We don't remember your text.
So I said the record wasn't as bad as it looked. Looking better now? Okay, you want to host the show here after Ken and Curtis at 1 o'clock? You can go ahead and do that.
Tim and Maria should host it.
Let's see here.
We actually should hire Maria to do like Sunday
Skate.
I
like testy Tyler. Can you read text messages?
God bless Maria, a very smart woman who gets it. My kind of woman. God bless Maria. I agree with that. Hockey talk is the worst. Also agree with that one. And I don't agree with this final text here on the text line, 37937. Why is this producer show such Patriot haters? Every time there's negative Patriots talk in this station, you're a hater. You don't get
Sometimes it's not even negative Patriots talk.
No.
Sometimes it's just like we say something about another team, and they assume that that means we're saying that that team is like unequivocally better than the Patriots, and the Patriots are trash.
The most glaring example was Lou on our show. He said Mac was the 13th or 12th best quarterback in the NFL as a rookie right now.
Fourier lost his mind at the end of a Monday show and said that Mac Jones is a top 5 quarterback in football. Then he woke up a little bit and said, okay, maybe he's closer to like 7 or 8. And Lou's like, I think he's like 14 or 15. And I was like,
You hate it from Moshfield.
Okay, here's this. I hate the Patriots. I hope they lose every game. And I hope that Robert Kraft has to sell the franchise and that they move to, I don't know, Portland. There you go. I hate the Patriots.
I
hope they lose every single game.
We got a few minutes left here.
I hope Mac Jones is a 1-year bust and that they're back looking for as many quarterbacks as the Bills, Dolphins, and Broncos combined have done.
Is that your tryout for the station across the street?
Yes, right. I am.
I like that. It's a good contrarian take.
Boycott the Patriots!
Boycott them.
Don't support them. They don't deserve your attention.
They're not coming back. Final 2 minutes here of the producer's show. John, why should Tuukka Rask come back here? Because it seems like it's Boston or bust.
They cannot
make a run without better goaltending, especially if their forward play is going to get worse as the season goes on. And I think it is going to because they whiffed on the Erik Haula. I mix up Erik Haula and Thomas Noshek because they've been on the same two teams.
Thomas Noshek has actually performed pretty well. Haula. Has been
They whiffed on Haula. Standing still this year. Yeah, they need Rask back because Swayman and Ullmark maybe could work on another team. it's not going to work in the long run on this team. They could slip in as a 7 or an 8 seed, but if they're going to get to a point this season where forwards, they need to hand the third line to Jack Studnicka for 10 games, you might as well have Tuukka Rask be the goalie during that and have him steal some games.
Do you really think they're a goaltender away, like Tuukka coming back is going to help them?
Well, I wouldn't say goaltender away is not exactly the vernacular I'd use, because I think they make the playoffs with Swayman and Ullmark. Tuukka's coming back at this point. If you don't think that, then you haven't been paying attention. They've literally told us he's coming back. So
I mean you. Them making the playoffs. That's not happening.
NHL, like, everyone makes the playoffs. Yeah,
they're not making the
7
playoffs.
Or 8 seed. I think they
You get a playoff.
Hey, by the way, big time tease for the Ken and Curtis show. Chris Curtis just texted me. He has placed his first ever bet. He's in the state of New Hampshire right now.
Oh, a three pick parlay. One vice with another. A three pick parlay.
Alabama plus 6.5 with the under 43.5 in Iowa, Michigan, and Cincinnati by 10.5 against Houston. Chris Curtis's first bet, 25 to pay out 225.
All right, the issue there, Curtis, you bet against Georgia, who's the best college football team I've seen since like the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. They are unbelievable. That is a bad bet. Go ahead and rip up that bet slip and wipe your ass with it. That's a loser.
He just has Bama covering the 6.5.
No, he had Bama covering the 6.5. I think Georgia's going to destroy Bama today.
See, I think it's going to be like a one-point game.
All right, we got to wrap up because I know you have like nothing left in that music bed. This has been the WA Producer Show. Ryan Garvin, John Anderson, Tyler Devitt. We're back next week, next Saturday, with Chris Scheim, the Ken and Curtis Show, live from the Greg Hill Foundation's Jingle All the Way 5Ks next.
See ya!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.